Good morning and welcome to Pick Up and Deliver, the podcast where I clip on a microphone when I step off the train and record an episode for you while I walk home. I'm Brendan Riley. Thanks for joining me this morning on Pick Up and Deliver. I'm glad to be speaking to you from chilly suburban Chicago. My wife found a internet meme that suggested the different seasons in Chicago for the Midwest for spring, or the different seasons are like winter, pre-spring, second winter, early spring, winter relapse, fourth spring, something like that. And it feels like we're experiencing that today. I had to put on gloves again after just a lovely weekend in which we lamented the shape of our yard. It's a lovely time to be alive. Well, this is spring break for me. My school is on break. I have a ton to do for a conference that I'm running next week, but I won't be going into campus, which is nice. Now, I am going to try to record several episodes this week so that I won't actually record and post any next week, but hopefully the ones that I'm recording this week can be queued up so that you get your weekly dose of Pick Up and Deliver next week. It's possible that I'll only have two episodes next week, depending on how my recording schedule goes this week. So that's the administrivia for Pick Up and Deliver podcast. I wanted to ask you about my introduction. So when I introduce myself, I say, this is the podcast where I pick up an audio recorder when I step off the train. But as often as not now, it feels like my recording is when I'm just drop the kids off at school or I'm out for a walk or something. So I have a question for you listeners and my first official listener poll. I'm curious to hear this. Let's say if you can send me your responses by email or by visiting the Board Game Geek Pick Up and Deliver podcast page. I will put this poll there. I'm curious what you think I should do with my introduction. Should I leave the introduction at when I step off the train as a kind of nod to the original and hopefully still majority of the episodes? Or should I change it each time? So the podcast where I clip on a recorder one eye, da 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 da, and have it change each time, which might have a kind of nice flair to it. Or I guess those are the two. I would entertain other suggestions for how to start the podcast, but I feel like one of those two would be just fine. Okay, now I'm officially done with the miscellany of running the podcast. I'm ready to talk about today's topic. So I was thinking over the weekend about different kinds of games, and my wife and I played a game of Mythos Tales, which is pretty fun. It's an interesting game about investigating mysteries in Arkham, Massachusetts, instead of the Lovecraftian universe. It's modeled on the game design of Sherlock Holmes Consulting Detective, with the idea being that you get a casebook, you get a newspaper, you get a map, and you get a prompt to start. And the idea is you, in a phone directory, the idea is you go from place to place investigating the mystery by listening to clues and then going to other places, and you record how many places you went to. Mythos Tales does have one innovation that I really like. It's called requirement cards. There's a deck of cards numbered 1 through 20 or something. And whenever you go to a particular place, it'll say, take requirement card 1. And the card is just literally a card with a number 1 on it. And the idea is that later, when you go to something else, something will happen, but it'll say, if you have requirement card 1, go to this other thing. And then at the end of many of the cases, they have these alternate scenarios that you read only if you had a particular set of requirements in place. So it's a clever mechanism to add to the flavor. I think that they're neglecting, however, their first clever mechanism, which is to have a different time of day. There are a few places in the game where the time of day where you visit the location matters, and then there are most locations it doesn't matter, which would be fine, except that often the clues they give you are related particularly to a time or a day, as though you hadn't visited at a particular time or day. So anyway, I don't know. I think it would probably be too hard to make it so that you had to go at a particular time. It'd be too easy to waste visiting steps. But I think it would make it a little more fun. But anyway, we were playing that, and I was thinking about a comment that was made by Paul Dean on the Shut Up and Sit Down podcast, I believe. Or it might have been Matt. On the Shut Up and Sit Down podcast about the difference between Sherlock Holmes' Consulting Detective and Mythos Tales. Namely, that Consulting Detective demands that you make a few leaps of logic that are missing from Mythos Tales. Most of the stuff Mythos Tales does is pretty straightforward. It'll give you you'll hear a narrative from a person, it'll list a location or two and a person or two, and those are your clues. You might have to use a little bit of energy to choose which of those clues is likely more important. But like in Sherlock Holmes, you often have another leap of logic that you have to make before you get to the name of the place you need to go. So, or it depends on actual knowledge that you might have that comes from outside the game. So I was thinking about that, and I thought it would be interesting to talk about the notion of deduction or logic in games, and thinking about what kinds of deduction and logic get used in games. So as an English professor who teaches reasoning as part of how I talk with my students about their writing, it's important to kind of know the different kinds of deduction. There are two main kinds. There's induction and deduction. There's also something called abduction, which frankly is really confusing. I've studied it a bit and I still find it very difficult to explain to people. So if you're looking things up, feel free to take a look at abductive reasoning and kind of reflect on what that has to do with anything else. It's not easy to understand. So, the most common kind of game that we encounter in games when we talk about different kinds of reasoning, mystery reasoning games, we have deductive reasoning games. The grandmother of all these games would be Clue, or a more recent version of that kind of game would be Mystery of the Abbey. These are games where you have a series of clues that you use to deduce who the murderer is. And deductive reasoning means taking the possibilities and eliminating them one by one. That you come up with a logical consequence that A is the case, so therefore B must follow. And to get that must follow in deductive reasoning, you have to remove everything. So, for instance, if you think Colonel Mustard might be the murderer in Clue, you would have to first eliminate all the other potential murderers, and then you might deduce Colonel Mustard is the murderer. So the deductive reasoning is the primary form of logical reasoning that games ask people to use when the game presents logical reasoning as a thing you're supposed to do. For instance, the classic social deduction game, Werewolf, is about trying to figure out who has motives for lying and who doesn't. And I think there's some interesting arguments to be made that perhaps Werewolf is in fact an inductive reasoning game, and I'll talk about that in a minute. But some other games are a bit more particular. Something like The Resistance or Secret Hitler has a series of actions people take that can allow you to deduce, you know, if this person voted for this team and this team and this team and all three of those teams failed their missions, perhaps that person is a bad guy. That actually might be abductive reasoning as I'm explaining it now, but the notion of deductive reasoning, and I've had games of The Resistance where it gets to this, where we get to the point where I say, it must be either you or you as the traitor because of these combination of things. And since the traitors are the only ones who are allowed to fail a mission, that's kind of how deductive reasoning would work in a social deduction game. Now, I would say the height of modern board gaming with deductive reasoning would be Alchemists. Alchemists is basically, if you haven't played it, it's a very thematic game from CGE. I forget the name of the designer, I apologize. Mysterious designer. And the idea is you're magicians in a medieval world and you're trying to figure out what these different ancient alchemical ingredients do. And so you make these potions and then you have your servant test them. And the potions will give, you know, either strength or luck or wisdom, and or they take it away. And so you can come to understand the qualities of each of the ingredients by means of testing these different potions. And again, this is using a bit of abductive reasoning where you're inferring from a couple case examples a larger answer, or deductive reasoning if you've solidified and you have a firm grasp. You know that by the logic of the different things you've found, this must be the case. So alchemists would be the height of deductive reasoning. Most games don't use inductive reasoning, and I think that's because it's too easy for it to fail. But as a method of playing games, inductive reasoning is really valuable to think about other players' behavior. So I'll give a classic game example first. If you've never played the card game Hearts, it's a good classic trick-taking game. The idea is you have a standard deck of playing cards. Everybody gets a certain number of cards in a hand, and your goal is to get as few heart cards as possible. So every time you take a trick, you then lead the next trick, and whatever suit was led is the primary suit. And then any offsuit can just be played if you don't have a card of the primary suit. So the goal is to not get hearts. You don't want to take tricks where people have played hearts, because you get points for them. However, and there's also the Queen of Spades is also worth 13 points. So you have 13 hearts worth 1 point each, and the Queen of Spades worth 13. So 26 points altogether in a round. Now, if somebody manages to take all the hearts and the Queen of Spades, that person has shot the moon. And instead of getting 26 points to themselves, everybody else gets 26 points. So the person who shot the moon actually, you know, wins kind of when everyone else loses. So if halfway through a round of hearts, a hand of hearts, you notice that someone has taken all the hearts so far, and they seem to be gearing up to continue taking tricks, you can infer that they are trying to shoot the moon. So an inference, you can use inductive reasoning to infer that they're going to shoot the moon. So an inductive reasoning is moving from general principle to specific application of that principle. And the thing is, it's not reliable the way that deductive reasoning is, which is why it's generally not preferred. So inference would be something like, every swan I've ever seen in my entire life is white, therefore all swans are white. Now that's not true, and it's not guaranteed by logic to be true, because just because you've never seen a different colored swan doesn't mean it doesn't exist. But inductive reasoning is the main reason we use most of the time in our lives, right? The way we navigate social spaces, the way we move through the world, is through inductive reasoning. I've ridden the commuter train several times a week since last May. There's never been a problem. There's no reason to think there would be a problem tomorrow, right? That's inductive reasoning. And like I said, it is the primary way that we get through. In games, I think inductive reasoning is most useful as a way to try to understand two things. One is rule sets. That inductive reasoning is a good practice we all use to try to learn to play new games with new rules. That when you see a game using a particular mechanic, like let's say a deck builder, using a particular mechanism like spend your cards for the hand, discard them, draw new cards before at the end of your turn, you'll use inductive reasoning to assume every deck builder you play is like that, which means that as a designer, if you're going to use a particular kind of mechanism and you're going to change the way it works, you need to really hammer home in the reading, in the rule book, that your rule is different than the usual rule, because people will assume it's the same. Inductive reasoning. Games themselves, I think, use inductive reasoning most when they have hidden motives. So for instance, like the Hearts example, in Blood Rage, there's a character, one of the win conditions or one of the ways to play is to use the Loki strategy, in which you are trying to lose battles, because every soldier, every warrior who gets killed and goes to Valhalla gets you more points. And so, while the game mostly says you want to win battles, somebody might be trying to lose battles, and a player trying to lose battles, you could use inductive reasoning to suggest that person is probably playing Loki. You know, the same goes for a lot of games that have activities or ways of playing that suggest to people you're going for a certain strategy. A study in Emerald, for instance, you're trying to either kill or protect the old gods. And so if you kill an old god, people might use inductive reasoning to believe that you are of the old gods. Well, that was just a little primer today on different kinds of logic. I hope that you found it interesting and edifying. That's it for me today. You can reach out to me at Rattlebox Games on Twitter, or by emailing me at brendan@rattleboxgames.com, or hit me up on BoardGameGeek, Wombat929. I hope that your day and your next walk are as pleasant as mine was. Thanks for joining me. Bye-bye.
Brought to you by Rattlebox Games.